Welcome to the One Hop Podcast. Our goal for this podcast is to equip you to live a life of prayer, individually and corporately. God is raising up watchmen, these communities of intercessors around the globe, and we have such a privilege in Omaha to join the Lord in rebuilding David's fallen tent for ceaseless prayer and worship to rise as an incense before him. We're so glad that you joined us today. All right, well, so I am sitting in the podcast studio with Drew Petty and Nicole, as always. And as we are looking into this week while we're recording, what I notice is Easter week is upon us. And Easter Sunday will be, obviously, this coming Sunday. So I just wanted us to share if there's any kind of a favorite part about Easter or something we love about Easter, besides the reality of Jesus dying on the cross.
Yes.
And rising.
It's a great part about it.
His death and resurrection. Yes. Best part.
Best part.
But are there any other little maybe traditions that you had growing up or things that you just remember or even now are implementing that we could just share for a few minutes?
Well, I mean, of course, when we were little, we had all the Easter egg hunts and Easter baskets and everything. And all that stuff has died down now. But one thing that still continues every Easter is that my grandma gets me a little bag of candy and an Easter card every year, even though I'm now 24. And so this Sunday, I'll be getting a little card from grandma and a little bag of candy. And so that's...
Well, we're all jealous, sweet. I'm just going to tell you. And and really...
She does it for Valentine's Day, too.
Aww.
And I think my birthday and Christmas, but I don't remember the other holidays.
Maybe candy Halloween. On your birthday?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know all the holidays that she does it for, but she does it for a lot of them.
You get money in the Easter eggs, too?
I wish. Oh. Not anymore. Dang. We used to get it.
I know. And right now in the House of Prayer, we need money in those Easter eggs.
I know. I would take an Easter egg hunt with a couple quarters in it. Laundry
money.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I have a couple things I love. First of all, Starburst jelly beans. I'm just going to tell you, they're the best. And last week, I bought two bags, which were going to be saved for Easter.
Yeah, right.
And, they're gone. And they were gone the day I bought them. First one, John was like, what are those Easter bag or those Starburst jelly beans sitting on the counter for? So I opened one bag for John and I to share, and that was gone. Mm-hmm. And then the other one opened the next day, and that was gone.
Yeah.
So those are my favorites. But fun thing that we did a couple years ago, it might have been last Easter, was peep jousting. I don't know if you have heard of it. And I, myself, am not a fan of the peeps.
Scared.
Because they're full of sugar and not that I'm opposed to sugar.
They're just gross.
But they're like marshmallow sugar. It's a
weird.
Whole different
they're
thing.
Weird. They're weird. Yeah.
So it doesn't taste like chocolate at all.
No.
Or Starburst jelly beans.
Or peanut butter.
So you take two peeps and you put them on a paper plate. And they can be different colors. They can be the same colors. And you take a toothpick and you stick
it. Serious jousting.
It's like serious jousting. You stick it like where in their chest where there would be an arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you put them, they face each other.
Yeah.
And then you put them in the microwave for 30 seconds.
Ew.
And all they do...
So you were going to eat them anyway.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
They just get large. They plump up. So the one that has the little toothpick that has moved into their chest on the other side is the winner of the joust.
Dude.
So we did this in World Changers last year with the teenagers, and it was quite fun.
Wow.
And surprisingly, I do believe all the teenagers... ate their peep after being in the microwave.
No, okay, no wait. That's is so it like disgusting. The chicken peeps or the bunny peeps?
Oh, it
the
doesn't.
Chicken ones, I think.
Okay. The chicken. Well, it didn't matter. We bought a couple
gross.
Boxes of peeps and had a jousting competition.
Really funnier.
So that was a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we've done with the teenagers is we've had a Passover.
Yeah,
we've done a Passover meal, and it's
this year Passover is a month later.
I know it's very
wow,
but
strange. Hmm. That why doesn't Easter line up with Passover? I don't even understand.
Easter's like the solstice or something.
The whole moon.
Yeah, Greg and I were wondering why that doesn't.
I think Easter is the sun and Passover is the moon. I think most of the Jewish ones are.
Oh, that's cool.
That's good.
Well, I don't know, but that doing a Passover meal was really that was a really cool thing to do as we were celebrating Jesus, the Passover, the Passover lamb, the sacrifice. So
I think for me, when I was younger, well, I wasn't raised going to church, so I didn't have any of those experiences. So when I started going to church when I was in my teens, I got involved with the dramas every
year.
That's
awesome. Hmm.
And I really, really loved those, and they always ministered to me. But the older I got, especially like when I was in high school, we got just more and more intense dramas. Mm-hmm. They were very real. And my parents kind of felt obligated to go because your child is in this performance and, you know, you should go. They're kind of like that whole Creaster, you know, Christmas and Easter people. So, but yeah, so Easter for me wasn't always very fun because my family and I would always get in fights because, you know, my mom would feel
obligated
to go to, you know, the church, and she didn't want to. So I think that at least in my, you know, my experience, holidays can be hard. And so the one thing that's cool about Easter is that even when it's difficult with family, Jesus reigns.
Yeah.
And there's always that to look, you know, to really focus on. And for me it was, okay, why am I doing these dramas? Why am I involved in this? Why am I willing to fight with my family? And, you know, so you just bring it all back to the Lord and it makes it worth it.
Definitely.
So. One of the traditions that we did growing up, and I don't know, Drew, if you did, being raised in a Christian home, and I really want to pass this along, and I'm hoping my kids will adopt this tradition, is the resurrection eggs, which it was produced by, I think, Family Life. And I just kind of made up my own, but it was 12 eggs, and it just kind of walked through the week leading up to Easter.
Around
the Easter dinner table, I had them marked, and then everyone got one or two, depending upon how many people we had around the table. And then it was everything from, like, I put, like, little, I just drew or cut out of clip art, praying hands. And then, so from Jesus praying in the garden, all the way, or Lord's Supper, Jesus praying in the garden, and then all the different events that happened. And one, we used a little, like, a little twist tie for the crown of thorns. And so I had them all numbered, and then we would open it up and talk about
what
Jesus went through. And I just, it was a really great way for, especially with young kids, to just really share the account of the death and resurrection of our Savior. So
That's interesting. I don't think that we did that. We did a lot of things, but I remember that both grandmas still send me a card and I get candy and
there
all
you
that
go.
Stuff. So anyway, well, welcome to our podcast. This month theme is, after we've been discussing all the wonderful things of Easter, our theme this month, we're going to be continuing talking about praying the word and learning a little bit more about what that is, and then the three of us are just going to give some examples of how we've used that personally and take a couple of passages and then just discuss them in a little more detail. So join us on this podcast, and we'll be back after this break.
Welcome back to the podcast. We are going to be, I'm just going to do a quick review of what we went over last week, talking about pray reading the word. So one way in which we gain strength in our prayer lives is by feeding on the word through engaging in conversation with God as we read the Bible. So scripture gives us the conversational language and material that we need to continue to grow our prayer lives. Talking to God as we read the word makes prayer easier and more enjoyable. We hope that if you've been doing this throughout the week that you're getting to understand that it makes it a little bit more fun. As we speak the truths of the word back to God, it changes our hearts. And so the two kind of topics that we spoke on last podcast were promises to believe and exhortations to obey. So very, very quickly, under promises to believe, we talked about first thanking God for that truth that is in the scripture that we're reading. And then second, asking Holy Spirit to give us more understanding of that scripture. And then under exhortations to obey, we talked about first committing ourselves to that truth, to obey that truth. And the second is asking Holy Spirit to help us to obey that truth. And so that's kind of what we went over last podcast. Also just the importance of writing down what we talked about, taking time to journal what we're reading and the different language and the different things that the Lord is giving us as we're going through that. Okay, so during this podcast, we want to give more examples of this tool of praying the word. And so we're going to share just some scriptures that we have spent time reading and then having that conversation back with the Lord. So for me, something, a scripture that the Lord really highlighted to me about 4 years ago before I went on the mission field was Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. So I'm going to quick just read the scripture and then just give you a few examples of how this has worked for me.
That's good.
So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So for me, at that time in my life, and even now today, the Lord really spoke to me through trees. This is that kind of symbolism. And so there's many different aspects of this scripture that have stood out to me and have really spoke to me and have given me just more language to speak back to the Lord. So just a few things. So promises to believe. I love this scripture in that it just talks about how the Lord promises to dwell with us.
Yeah, that's good.
How he promises that he will root us and ground. So root me and ground me in his love. That I would be unshakable in his love. I would be immovable in his love. When his roots go deep in me, I'm unshakable. And just thanking him for the strength that he promises to give me to love him and to love others. And then just the understanding at the very end where he talks about the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So for me, it was getting out of my head and allowing myself to have an experience with the Lord. And so here, I just took that as a promise for myself to believe that the Lord wants me to have an experience with him and his love, and that it's going to go beyond just head knowledge.
That's really good.
And so those are kind of the promises that I have prayed over and talked back to him with, and then just asking him for more understanding in each one of those promises. So asking him to give me more understanding of how to be rooted and grounded in his love. And how does that look for me to walk it out on a daily basis in my life? And as I was entering the foreign mission field, what that looked like in the midst of struggles and trials and language barriers and all those things. And then asking him to give me more understanding of the strength to comprehend his love. Because I think that the love of Christ is sometimes hard to get and hard to understand. At least it was for me for many, many years. And then also just asking him for more understanding of just how the whole attributes there, how high and wide and long and deep is his love. There's a reason that it says it. And so just asking for more understanding of what that looks like. And then moving more on to the exhortations to obey. This one I kind of didn't understand in the beginning. So I just kind of picked out things that I wanted help with, I needed help with from the Lord. So I have prayed this for many years now, asking the Lord to help me to commit to being strengthened in my faith. asking the Lord as I commit to obey him and loving him and loving others, just to strengthen me in that also. And then as I commit to growing in understanding of his love in that experiential place mm-hmm. beyond the head knowledge, asking for help to receive his love and to give it to others. So those are just a few of the exhortations that I have prayed into for the last who knows how many years at this point.
So let me ask you this. In mm-hmm. your journal, mm-hmm. do you write, when you're pray reading the word, mm-hmm. do you write out like the scripture mm-hmm. and then bullet point it? Like, these are the promises. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm asking the Lord. Mm-hmm. This is what the Lord's calling me to obey. And then these are some things that I'm asking him to help me with so that you can kind of refer back mm-hmm. to it?
I do. I write out the scripture, and then I go with markers or uh-huh. highlighters or color pencils, and I'm a color coordinator.
Yeah, I love it.
And so I will circle the promises that it says, and then I will underline the exhortation or box the exhortations. And then under that, I do. I bullet point the promises that he's called me to believe in that, mm-hmm. The things that I need more understanding and color coordinating.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And then what I'm committing to, and then asking for help. And so right now in the journal I have in front of me, one is pink, one is blue, one is green, one is red. Mm-hmm. So
That just gives even more explanation, too, on mm-hmm. just being as creative as
yeah,
you want
absolutely.
In this place of mm-hmm. prayer, reading the word. Because mm-hmm. the goal is to have a conversation with the Lord and
yes.
to have more understanding
yes.
of what his heart is even for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, good. That's awesome. All right. Well, we are going to take a break, and Drew is going to be sharing with us a resource for this month. So stay tuned to that. And when we come back after his review, then Drew and I will be sharing some scriptures that we've been just pray reading to the Lord.
All right, welcome back to Reviews by Drew. All right, well, today, for this month, since we're talking about praying the word and pray reading, I thought it'd be a great chance to talk about one of my favorite books by Corey Russell, which is called Ancient Paths, and it is all about the word. And he goes through Psalm 119, which, of course, is all about the word, and David talking about how much he delighted in the law and in the word and the precepts of God. And so I just want to read this little excerpt from Corey's book. And it says, Corey writes, "Today I believe the Lord is visiting our generation. He is alluring us and wooing us in this season to hear again, to come again, to believe again. The Lord is calling the dry, tired souls back to the place of rest. Jeremiah's words are as alive today as they were thousands of years ago. We want to respond to his cry and begin to ask God for the ancient paths, for the paths of prayer, for the paths of the word, and for the paths of silence, meditation, and contemplation. It is our desire to rediscover the place of inner quiet where the word of God can speak. We want to go on the journey of rediscovering the ability to hear." So that's a little excerpt from the book. And once again, it is an awesome book that I encourage all of you to read. It's called Ancient Paths by Corey Russell. So that is today's Reviews by Drew, and we'll see you next month for the podcast.
Want to encourage you all to get that resource, The Ancient Paths. I have it in hardback form, and I also have it on Kindle, and I love it. And Psalm 119 is so beautiful that it just, Corey Russell does such a great job of just explaining that. So thank you to Drew for that. I'm going to share one of the scriptures that I've been meditating on, and I come back to it, and I just have been pray reading it. And it's Song of Solomon 1 verse 5, and this is what the verse says. Dark am I yet lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. And for those of you who are not familiar with Song of Solomon, it is, there's several, it's an actual story of King Solomon and his bride. However, it is also allegorical, so you can take it as in natural love between a husband and a wife, but really the deeper meaning is the love of Jesus for his bride. And that is who we are in the body of Christ as we pursue him and receive his love. So for me, one of the ways that I just keep praying reading this is I just have confessions. So I probably do it a little different than how you, Nicole, explained it. But I have gone through the Song of Solomon, and I just write out confessions. Mm-hmm. And what I'm doing in that is really it's the confessions of either a promise or something to obey.
Yeah.
And I'm wanting my heart to align with it. So when I'm feeling like, oh, that's not even how I feel, I just disregard how I feel, and I speak it forth anyway. So for me, dark am I yet lovely. What I see here, when I'm even looking at a promise, is that even in my darkness, even in my weakness, even in my immaturity, even in my sin, I'm still lovely to the Lord. So the promise is that I'm lovely to him. The promise in all of it is that he sees me at the end. He doesn't get stuck where I get stuck or, you know, where we get stuck, like, oh, I blew it again. So it causes me to have great confidence in the Lord, and it keeps me running to him instead of hiding from him or running away from him, because I know that before his eyes, I'm still lovely, even in my darkness. And a couple of the points that I just have written in my journal here is one of the questions that I ask then. When I read things, I often just start asking questions like, well, how can it be? How can I actually be lovely in your eyes, Lord? Because you do know the darkness in my heart. And Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, you know, that our heart is wicked. Who can know it? So, and I do feel also like the closer we press to the Lord, we do have, like, we can really see the darkness of our heart. It just feels like to me, more of my darkness is revealed. So I've just been having this kind of conversation with Jesus, like, how can I be lovely to you? And the Lord has just, you know, I've kind of heard, you know, well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So because he gets to decide what's beautiful to him. He gets to decide what's lovely to him. And as he sees the movements of my heart towards him, that causes him to see me as beautiful. And then righteousness. I know I stand under the righteousness of Christ. So this, you know, we never get a larger portion of righteousness. We get righteousness. We're covered in it. It's our robe that Jesus gives us. So just to know that in my darkness, he sees me covered with this clothing, this robe of righteousness, and so he can see me lovely. And also, this too, I think, reminds me of what you were sharing, Nicole. It's this, the Holy Spirit's given me a desire in my spirit to love him, to obey him, to walk with him, to pursue him. So just even that asking the Holy Spirit, will you help me? Help me in the darkness, help me in my weakness to overcome the things that have been struggles or to overcome even areas where I feel like I'm stuck, but I'm actually not because I've moved on from it, but the enemy will throw things at me, the lies and accusations. So I'm even asking the Holy Spirit to just help me in that, to know who I am, to see myself rightly the way that you see me. And I also, the Lord was showing me last week when I was just kind of pray reading this, that if we side only on darkness, if that's all we see, then we kind of get, you know, that whole condemnation, put ourselves in the timeout chair. Oh, there's nothing good in me. I am nothing. I am so unworthy. Which is, obviously, that's not a right view. But if I side with, I'm only lovely to him, well, that's not right either, because then pride sneaks in and I'm like, well, I don't even need him because I got this figured out. Then it's like the Pharisees. So I feel like it is this balance of the darkness and the loveliness, and this, it is truly a twofold confession. So I've been really excited to just kind of walk this through with the Lord again. And one of the things he showed me last week, I was praying about this, And I was looking at my ring, because I love my wedding ring, and I was just, you know, kind of contemplating that in the midst of all of this, and I was praying. And the Lord said, you know, a diamond, even in the process of being mined, is still a diamond. Mm-hmm. So for you, Kristen, even though you're not at the completion of being set in a beautiful, you know, ring or whatever, you are on a journey, and you're still a diamond. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, a diamond is still a diamond, even in the mining process. So I was just really encouraged by that, and I feel like knowing this twofold confession, for me personally, it gives me such confidence, because if I felt darkness all the time, I just don't know if I would keep going. Mm-hmm. I might quit. I might just say, well, I can't do it. There's no hope for me. So I love that Jesus has laid this out, and I feel like this is really one of those confessions I keep coming back to, and I keep reading this, because the Lord keeps showing me layers upon layers upon layers of what he has there. So anyway, that's kind of what I've been, that's what I've been meditating on this week. So
the one that I wanted to share is one that we're all very familiar with, is Psalm 23.
Yes.
And I'm just going to read the first three verses and talk about those ones, although the whole thing is obviously very good. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So one of the things that, as I have been pray reading the word and just going through the Psalms, I love the Psalms. And I think this is one that we all know very well, but I think because we know it very well, we can become too familiar with it and just kind of skip over it. Like, yeah, I know, I had to memorize it in, you know, Sunday school or whatever, and miss the you know, monumental truths that are found in it. So I love that, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and the idea of God being a leader, that, okay, I can commit to trust you. But one of the things that, you know, I really learned over the years is I don't necessarily, as a human, like being led. I like to be the one in charge leading and telling other people what to do and deciding my own way and all those other things. And I don't like to have someone else telling me what to do. And maybe some of you are like that, and maybe I'm the only one. But I kind of like doing things my own way. But one of the things I learned as I've been just talking with the Lord about it over the years is I can trust, you know, in Jesus as the shepherd, because he was also a lamb. And he knows what it's like to experience the difficulties of life, and the, you know, obviously he measured up to everything, you know, that he set his heart to do, but he understands the difficulties and is compassionate when I don't measure up, and when I don't want to be led, and when I don't want to do things that I've been asked to do, or that he's leading me into. He knows the difficulties, because he was a lamb and he was led by a shepherd, by his father, and so I can also be led by him. And also because, you know, he goes through some of these things, but he knows what I need. He knows how to keep me in his perfect will. He knows how to keep me just in general. When I am, you know, prone to wander, as one of the old hymns says, he knows how to keep me and guide me in the path of righteousness. And he knows what I need when I need rest, and when I need motivation, and when I need correction, and when I need discipline, and when I need strength, or when I need his love, or any other aspect. He knows, because he's a good shepherd. And so for my, you know, my commitments to obey with all the promises that he gives, if he knows what I need and he will lead me perfectly, then I get to respond and say, okay, I know you're a provider, so I commit to not worrying about your provision and to doing my part of the deal, where I'm going to trust you and I'm going to step out in faith, even on areas where you're asking me to for provision. And I'm going to trust you, your leadership in this area of my life, and do what you say, and not try to do my own way. And so some of those things are just things that we can commit to obey and just go through there, and, you know, just being committed to connecting with him. Obviously, he's a shepherd and he's a leader and all the things, but he's not like a normal boss. He is tender in his leading, and he's loving in his leading, and he leads tenderly, and he leads by the waters, and he leads things that are not, you know, just demanding and telling me what I'm doing wrong. He leads in a way that he wants connection with me. And all the, of course, the rest of the psalm goes through that very perfectly. But anyway, that is just a little bit taste of our prayer reading and kind of what that looks like in a more practical sense. And of course, everyone does it a little bit differently. There's no necessarily right or wrong way, but the main thing is to just be connected with the Lord. As we are reading the word, we want to be connected with him. We want to talk with him and hear his voice and not just, you know, read it for reading's sake, because it's not like any other book. There's a man behind the pages. So this week, as we're leading into Easter week, we just encourage you to read through the Bible, maybe even read through the last week of Jesus's life and his death on the cross and resurrection, and encounter him as you're reading the word and really connect with him and pray, read the word, and find out some of the promises and some of the commitments to obey. And we will catch you next month with our podcast.